We come this morning to the fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer. And this is the first petition. Petition is a request or a supplication, asking the Lord for something. This is the first petition that we ask something for ourselves. And so the first three petitions have been very God-centered and God-focused, and we should learn something about how we should pray from this, that when we come to God, we first come and praise Him and adore Him and thank Him and pray for His concerns about Himself and His glory and His kingdom, His holiness, that His name be honored, about His reign and about His will being done. And only then do we come to this fourth petition of asking something for ourselves. And yet even in that, we can think about our own prayer lives and ask ourselves, when I pray, what am I most passionate about? I mean, even thinking as we have in the book of Jonah, when are people most desperate for God in prayer? I mean, when does the church feel? I guarantee you, if there was some catastrophe in the world today where the world market crashes and there's no food in the grocery stores, I guarantee you this place would be packed. I guarantee you at noonday prayer on Tuesday, people would be in here. Because when we have these personal things taken from us, oh, we pray then. We pray passionately then when we don't know where food's coming from. When we get the doctor's message that you have cancer and you have 6 months to live. Oh, we pray then. We pray with passion. We pray with zeal. We pray with tears. When our physical needs are compromised. And so we ought to think about that. And we ought to examine our hearts and our minds and our lives about what we pray most passionately about and when we pray most passionately. And we want God to so work in us that we would grow, that we would all grow. I'm the same way. When God brings something hard in my personal life, I'm a passionate prayer. But why, Joseph? Why are you not more passionate for God's kingdom? For His will to be done. And for His name to be hallowed. When those requests are infinitely more important than whether I have enough bread to eat tomorrow. And so we want to pray that our Father would so work in our hearts to make us passionate for these first three petitions. And yet, our God is so good and so loving and so kind and so gracious that He cares about our bread as well. Our loving and gracious and all-powerful and all-knowing Heavenly Father will always provide exactly what we need, the exact time when we need it, and the exact way that we need it. If you need a thesis statement, that's it. That's the thesis statement of the sermon. Our loving, gracious, all-powerful, all-knowing Heavenly Father will always provide exactly what we need, the exact time when we need it, and the exact way that we need it, in the big things and in the small. Notice that, beloved. Jesus goes from teaching us to pray from these mega, infinitely important issues, God's holiness, God's reign, God's will, and He cares about you having bread to eat today. That's our God. He's in the heavens. He made the world. He is infinitely glorious and beautiful, majestic, and holds the world by the word of His power. And He dwells with those who are humble and contrite in heart and who tremble at His word. And He cares about the smallest things in your life, even that you have enough food to eat today. and everything in between. God cares about every detail of your life, from the big to the small, even down to, do you have food? Do you believe this about your Father? We'll sing a hymn, Lord willing, at the end of our time together, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And his faithfulness to us, even in the small things of making sure we have food to eat today, is very much related to the first three petitions. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. We're to eat our bread and drink our drink for the glory of God. They're very much related. And so, 4 points today. Number one, our Father is our great provider. Number two, we are needy children. Number three, our Father gives us just what we need. And number four, we are responsible to work hard and pursue our Father in heaven. Number one, our Father is our great provider. I'm going to again lean on the Westminster Larger Catechism as we think about this prayer, this request. But our Father is our great provider. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. And the Catechism says, as we pray that, we're waiting upon the providence of God from day to day for our needs. Remember, in the time when Jesus taught this prayer, bread was their staple food. This was their go-to food. This was the primary backbone of their diet. And also back then, they didn't have plentiful provisions like we do today. As I mentioned, most of us have food in our refrigerators, not for tomorrow, but for a week or two. And so remember the context of this prayer. Bread is their staple food. This is their food. This is pointing to all physical provision that we need. And really, in these last three petitions, Jesus is teaching us that God gives us all that we need in life. He gives us all of our physical needs. He gives us all of our spiritual needs. We need forgiveness of sins. We need deliverance from the wrath to come. And we need to be delivered from evil. We need to grow in holiness and righteousness. And we start with this prayer for our physical needs that God provides through His good and kind providence. Our Father is our great provider. You even hear the word provide in the word providence. Pro meaning beforehand. Vide, it means to see. So seeing beforehand what we need. God provides everything we need through His providence. What is providence? Westminster Confession of Faith 5:1 says, God, the great creator of all things, does uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, by His most wise and holy providence. According to His infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel of His own will, to the praise of the glory of His wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. That means God is in absolute control over absolutely everything and will provide for all of His people exactly what they need and the way that they need it, when they need it, for the praise of all of His glory. The Catechism asks the question, what are God's works of providence? And the answer is, God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures, ordering them and all their actions to His own glory. The Heidelberg Catechism, question 27, what do you understand by the providence of God? Answer, the almighty, everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth with all creatures, and so governs them that the herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. God provides everything we need for his own glory. He provides for his children. He will not let you down. He did not let his people down, Israel, when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Deuteronomy 2:7, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. You have lacked nothing. This is the beginning of a very famous psalm that many of you are familiar with. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. God provides everything that I need. And if he hasn't given it, I don't need it. And it's a problem with me. Not with him. Psalm 145, 13 through 20. The psalmist says to God, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Our God provides, our Father provides all of our needs. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And even later on in this very sermon, we read in Matthew 6:26, Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I mean, Jesus' logic here is Father provides even for the little birds. How much more will he provide for you who are worth much more than little birdies? Our Father is our great provider. And we're to remember this when we come to our Father in prayer and pray, give us this day our daily bread. Our Father provides everything we need in the right way, at the right time, perfectly, for our good and his glory. Secondly, we are needy children. We are needy children. The Larger Catechism, question 193, asks the question, what do we pray for in the fourth petition? Answer, in the fourth petition, which is give us this day our daily bread, acknowledging that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God and to have them cursed to us in the use of them, and that neither they of themselves are able to sustain us, nor we to merit or by our own industry to procure them, but prone to desire, get, and use them unlawfully. And so we pray. And so we're going to think about the acknowledgement of these truths about ourselves before we pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Get this, beloved, acknowledging that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God and to have them cursed to us in the use of them. This will help you be thankful. You don't deserve daily bread. You don't deserve to be here today alive. breathing. You don't deserve to be able to see. You don't deserve to be able to hear, to smell, to touch, to feel, to taste food. You don't deserve the clothes on your back. Children, you don't deserve the parents that you have. I don't deserve any of these things. We deserve cursed hell. That's all we deserve. We don't deserve to be free from disease. We don't deserve to be free from pain. We deserve nothing but pain and sorrow and loss and death and hell. That's all we deserve. This is, if you get this, you're going to walk out of here skipping and singing for joy. You think this is a downer. This is not a downer. This is meant to put a foundation under the joy that you have, that it's not this paper thin, you know, hallelujah, just emotion. Our emotions have to be based on truth. And if you get this and you realize what Jesus did to save you, you will be skipping and hopping and jumping out of here. I deserve nothing but hell. Whatever the troubles I had this morning or this afternoon I'll have, I deserve them and more. Because of my sin, because of Joseph Randall's sin against the living and holy God. Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 22. God tells His people, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, your God, or be careful to do all His commandments and His statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of herds and young of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of your evil deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence stick to you until it has consumed you off the land and you are entering to take possession of it. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation, and fiery heat, and with drought and blight and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. I deserve that. That everything I touch be cursed. That's what I deserve because of my sin. And so when we come and pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread, we're coming in a certain posture. I don't deserve my daily bread. And when I get it, I deserve it to be molded and go down and swell in my stomach until I pop. That's what I deserve. If you get sin and you get the holiness of God and you get your own personal offense to God, then you'll get this. But if your eyes are blind, and you'll think you deserve so much more than you get. And so, Father, we pray you would open eyes, open my eyes. Anytime I'm angry, I'm basically forgetting this. Almost. And so we need God to open our eyes that all we deserve is wrath and judgment and curse and hell. And we don't deserve bread. What else should we acknowledge? That neither our outward blessings of themselves are able to sustain us. Our daily bread can't sustain us in and of itself. Matthew 4:4, Jesus, quoting Deuteronomy, said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Here you see Jesus using bread as that representative of all of our necessities and all our needs, especially for our food. And we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We can't live by bread alone. We need more than physical bread. We need this Word of God. Jesus was referring to the written, spoken Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need God to live. We're acknowledging that we're unable to merit any outward blessings. We don't deserve bread, and we can't earn it from God. We want to be like Jacob in Genesis 32:10, who heard of his brother Esau gathering 400 men to come against him. And Jacob cries out, "I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love." and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. When we come to God and say, give us this day our daily bread, we're acknowledging that we cannot earn or merit this provision. We're acknowledging that we're unable by our own industry or strength to procure any outward blessings. Anyone seen the movie Shenandoah with Jimmy Stewart? He begins that movie with this blasphemous prayer. Lord, he's there at the table. He's there at the table with his children. He's a farmer. He's got all. This is way back farming times where they planted and harvested and did everything themselves. And so this is an older movie, and he's there with his family praying to God. And he says, Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested it. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here. It wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be eaten if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel. But we thank you just the same anyway, Lord, for the food we're about to eat. We did it all, Lord. We cleared the land. We planted. We harvested. We fixed it. We worked hard, Lord. But we thank you anyway, even though we did it all. How many of us would never pray that prayer, but practically live that way? Most of us here know we're not supposed to pray that way. But how many of us practically live, especially concerning our daily bread, like this man blasphemously prayed? Friend, if you're here this morning, you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is how you live. You see yourself as your God. You live in your own strength. You're not thankful to God as you should be. You don't understand who He is and what He does. And so practically you live this way because you don't know Him. And this is a blasphemous prayer. And it's a blasphemous way to live. And the Bible teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That we all, apart from faith in Jesus and a relationship with God, we have all lived this way. We've all lived this unthankful, ungrateful, I've done it all way and I can do it all way. And because we've lived this way, we deserve God's wrath and judgment in hell. But praise God. God loves sinners. He loves people who would even have the audacity and boldness to pray like this. So much so that He sent His Son Jesus into the world to live the perfect life we should have lived. To be thankful to His Father in heaven, like we should be thankful, to obey and honor and do all that the Father called Him to do, and then bear the wrath of God for such a prayer, to bear the wrath of God for even, though you might not pray this way, for living this way, and not being desperately thankful for God for giving you everything. He died for sinners like this. Took the wrath and curse of God. He took all those curses that we deserve and died and was buried. And on the third day, He rose from the dead. He conquered sin, death, and hell so that everyone who realizes this about themselves, who realize, yes, I've been unthankful. Yes, I've lived this way. Even if I've never prayed this way, I have lived this way, going through life, disregarding God, not thinking about Him. Or when I do, I really did it. This prayer thing. okay, but I did it all. If you realize that's sinful and you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll save you. He'll save you, forgive you of your sins, adopt you into His family, and you will begin to grow in thankfulness. You will begin to see God everywhere, in everything, doing this, doing that, sovereign over this, sovereign over that. And you will give Him thanks in the right way. Lord, we cleared this land. Who gave you the land? Who made the land? We plowed it and sowed it and harvested it. Who gave you the breath and the strength to be able to do that? In Him we live and move and have our being. Who kept your heart beating, Jimmy, so you could do that? Who gave the sunshine and said, rise and set every day so that it might have sun to grow, that you could harvest it? Who sent the rain that it might be fed and watered? Who gave you the strength to do this? It would just die if it weren't for God. Who sustains your body that when you eat it, you have the enjoyment of taste? Who gave you your taste buds, Jimmy? Who upholds your heart beating in your stomach and put the enzymes there that they work the way they should, that it might digest to give you energy? Oh, God is there. God is there, and you ought to be thanking Him for everything that He's given you. I was sitting here thinking, what does it mean? Thank you for the refrigerator, Lord. You ever thank God for the refrigerator? Thank you, Lord, for the refrigerator that keeps my food that I might eat it tomorrow. Thank you for the farmers out in the Midwest who plant the seed and harvest the crop. Thank you for the ShopRite where I can get bread. Thank you for keeping it open. I mean, we got a little taste of this, right? Last summer when the stores were empty and the prayer meetings filled because some people didn't know where they were going to get food. Some people thought they might have to move out of the city to get enough food for their family. We got a little taste of it, and God could at the drop of a finger take away all the food everywhere so that we're praying like we should. Give us this day our daily bread. Because He gets tired of not being acknowledged. And thanked and forgotten. Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 18. This is a passage that he needed to hear, this man who prayed this prayer in Shenandoah. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. And we really have to remember this in this country in which we live, one of the richest countries in the richest times in the history of the world. I was listening to a sermon about this, preached from 1980. And in 1980 in the U.S., our crops were worth $61 billion in this country alone. The corn alone would fill 2 million of those jumbo hopper train cars that would stretch 13 times back and forth across the United States. We have no lack of bread. But I remember Miss Lena telling me, you don't know what it's like to starve. So you can't, some things you can't appreciate. You don't know what it's like not to know where your meal's coming from tomorrow. And so God, help me know. Help me remember. I keep pictures of those starving children, that famous picture that was taken in Time magazine of that poor little child humped over with, in the background was a buzzard waiting to eat this malnourished child. I want to remember that 16,000 little children starve to death every single day. And people make jokes about their dinner table. Oh, you can't eat that. Mail it to them. Forgive us, God, for making jokes like that. Because they are dying. And I'm ungrateful. And I can be ungrateful. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a great sinner. 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. And so we acknowledge, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we acknowledge that we cannot do this in our own strength. I can't rely on my own strength and my own money and shop right to procure my outward blessings. God has to grant that. God has to keep ShopRite open. God has to keep the crops growing. God has to give me the resources. God, give me my daily bread. And the final one of these acknowledging that we are prone to desire, get, and use outward blessings unlawfully. In other words, we take what God gives us and use it in sinful ways. We take what God gives and don't honor Him with it. We don't eat and drink for the glory of God, but we make our belly our God. I was having lunch with one of our brothers who's from Kenya, and he told me last week, I can understand why so many Americans are overweight. It's good to have fresh eyes on a culture. We use God's gifts in a sinful way. Jeremiah 6:13. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The word daily points to us needing enough, not more than enough. Like when God gave the manna, remember He said, gather what you need. And the people that gathered a bunch, they didn't have any left over. And the ones who gathered little had no lack. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need, Lord, not more, not less. The word daily points us to needing enough, not being greedy, not overeating, not having our belly as our God. The food giveaways we do, pray for me on this. I get so angry sometimes at the way I see people take and take and take and take and take for themselves. Pray that God would bring people from our neighborhood to get this food that desperately need it. That have that little boy, that little girl, that they won't be able to eat unless they get food from us. Pray that God would bring those people. Those are the people I pray God would bring. I want that single mom with 6 kids who does not know how she's going to feed them tomorrow to come and get that bread. Not the guy driving up in the Lexus. That's one reason I like the new way they're doing it is that you have to sign up and say how much you make. Yeah, you have to make less than like 20 grand a year to be able to get the food. So pray with me. Pray with me that God would bring the desperately hungry people and that those who aren't would stay away. Give us this day our daily bread, no more, no less. Point number 3, our Father gives us and others just what we need. Westminster Larger Catechism 193, we're praying for ourselves and others. Notice the corporate nature of this prayer again. Give us this day our daily bread. Anytime you pray corporately, beloved, anytime you pray up here at this pulpit, anytime you pray online, you ought to be using plural pronouns. We, us, we're praying corporately. And don't only pray for yourselves. There are people in the world that need food. Give them their daily bread, Lord, in these places that desperately need it. We want to think about others when we pray this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We're praying that our Father would freely give us our needs according to what He determines is best for us, according to His fatherly wisdom. God knows best what we need in food and in health and in marriage and children and family, in work, in job, in school. God gives us exactly what we need. And this prayer reminds us of the fatherly love and care that He will give us exactly what we need. Kevin DeYoung preached that this request reminds us to be content. To be content in what God gives, that He is all wise, all knowing, all good, all loving, and He will give us exactly what we need, when we need it, the way that we need it. And it reminds us to be thankful, to be a thankful people for all that we have. And that it reminds us that we're dependent. We utterly need God. We need Him for everything, our spiritual bread and our physical bread. D.A. Carson wrote in his commentary, "We're praying for our needs, not our greeds." We're praying for our needs, not our greeds. We're praying that we would enjoy a competent portion of them and have the same continued and blessed unto us in our holy and comfortable use of them and contentment in them, and we be kept from all things that are contrary to our temporal support and comfort. What does that mean? It means that we are to enjoy this. Give us this day our daily bread. God cares about our physical needs. Sometimes we're more spiritual than God. God made the body. He cares about the body. He cares about both the body and spirit. And so we're asking for this bread to enjoy it. It's good to enjoy bread, to enjoy food. Thank you, Lord. Let's feast and enjoy the gifts that He gives. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." And so in no way do I want our time together here to be a killjoy, where all you do is feel guilty. If you're in sin, yes, by all means, feel guilty. That's good guilt. If you're unthankful, if you're grumbling and complaining, yes, by all means, feel guilty and repent and receive forgiveness in Jesus and rejoice in your forgiveness. But also realize God gives us bread to enjoy, to move us to praise Him and thank Him for taste buds and salt and pepper and a little sugar, not too much, and all these wonderful gifts that He gives us to eat and enjoy. We're praying for contentment. Again, that we will be content in what God gives us. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 11. "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." And we're praying, "Give us this day our daily bread." We're praying, "Give us what we need to keep us close to you, Father. Keep us from all things that are contrary to our temporal support and comfort." This is a prayer for Proverbs 38 and 9. "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches." Wonder if Creflo Dollar ever preaches that passage. Wonder if Joel Osteen ever preaches that passage. Wonder if T.D. Jakes ever preaches that passage. Wonder if Joyce Meyer or Kenneth Copeland or Benny Hinn ever preaches that passage. "Give me neither poverty nor riches." By the way, if you're new here, those teachers I listed are evil, wicked, false teachers who are leading people to hell, making them fall in love with money more than Jesus. And so we would encourage you to turn them off and find a good hellfire preacher like Jesus, who preaches hell and redemption through the cross of Christ. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Why? Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? So don't give me an abundance. Don't make me rich, lest I forget you. Like that man who prayed in Shenandoah. Don't make me rich, Lord. I don't want to forget you. I want to realize I'm dependent on you and need you. Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And Lord, give me enough so that I don't steal and profane God's name. And so, God, give us what we need that I'd be close to you and know you and delight in you and treasure you. And finally, briefly, number four, we are responsible to work hard and pursue our Father in heaven. Again, the Catechism 193, we pray for our daily bread, expecting to work for it in the use of lawful means. I used the phrase last week, you got to put legs on those prayers. We're going to talk about people coming to know Christ. We don't just pray for it, we put legs on those prayers. We got to go speak of Christ and share the gospel. We don't just pray, give us this day our daily bread, and wait for bread to fall down out of heaven. Because God has ordained the means by which we are to earn that bread. That's the one little grain of truth in the Shenandoah man's prayer. He did work bone hard for it, and so he should. And so he should work bone hard, knuckle bone hard for that food. Kevin DeYoung mentioned in his sermon, give us this day our daily bread. The our bread points to two things. Number one, it points to us working and earning a living. And two, it's our bread in the sense that we work for it, and it's our bread in the sense that we didn't steal it. 1 Timothy 5:8. This is the word of God. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. God takes it very seriously that we provide for our families, physical needs. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. And so the Bible teaches from cover to cover that we are to be people who work hard. We are to plant the harvest and harvest the field and work bone dead hard. That's what we're made for. We were made to work. Work came before the fall. God made us to work. You hear of people who retire and stop working and they just die. Have you heard people like that? Because we were made for that. We weren't made to sit around. We were made to work. And so it's our bread in the sense that we work for it. We're to work for it and then thank God for the strength to do it. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread, but we work for it. And we don't steal. Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. We don't take from others. We forsake stealing. Give us this day our daily bread. And in everything, we are to pursue the Father. In everything, we're to pursue our Father. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except through me. You can't come to the Father except through Jesus. And Jesus spoke of himself as the bread, didn't he? He spoke of himself as the bread of life, the bread that gives life. John 6:33 through 35 and 47 through 51. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Believe in him and live forever. You believe in him, you're eating him and living forever, beloved. This is the good news of the gospel. And yet, in this prayer we pray, give us this day our daily bread, this is a prayer for physical bread. But it's also more than that. And why did God give physical bread? Why did God ordain and create and decree that there be physical bread? To point to Jesus Christ. To point to Jesus Christ. The bread of life through whom we can live forever. Listen to what John Piper says. One of the reasons God created bread, or created the grain and the water and yeast and fire and human intelligence to make it, is so that when Jesus Christ came into the world, he would be able to use the enjoyment of bread and the nourishment of bread as an illustration of what it means to believe on him and be satisfied with him. Bread exists to help us know what it is like to be satisfied in Jesus. Bread exists to help us know what it is like to be satisfied in Jesus. And so when we pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread, and God provides our daily bread, yes, through our working and through our laboring with our hands, he provides that bread and allows us to enjoy it. I don't know if you ever go without food for a while and you're starving. You say, I'm starving. We don't know what starving is, but we talk that way. But then you haven't gone without food and your mom or your wife makes that your favorite meal and you eat and it's satisfying and it delights your senses and satisfies your stomach. That satisfaction, that should point you to the satisfaction that can be found in Christ alone. That he alone can satisfy you in all the ways that you were meant to be satisfied. Jesus, Christ Jesus, is the bread we need, came down from heaven all to feed. The God-man spoke through word and deed. For sinners, he would die and bleed, bore all God's wrath as he decreed, then rose alive so we'd be freed from death and sin, from weed to greed. So trust him now and his word heed. We live for him and by his creed. In heaven now he'll intercede. Our God provides our every need. He's satisfaction, true indeed. And so, Father, we pray that we would grow in praying this part of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, we ask that you would make us more aware of your work in our lives and everything that must happen that we might even have daily bread. That we would grow in our thankfulness, O God. That we would grow in using this bread for your glory and not for our own selfish, unlawful purposes. And Father, we ask that we would taste and see that you are good. That we would be satisfied in Christ, the bread of life. That we would see, oh Father, that you are our satisfaction, our joy, and our delight. All the while remembering we deserve none of this, but only judgment and justice and curse in hell. And yet you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us and deliver us from all those curses. that we might have everlasting blessedness in your very presence. Father, we declare great is your faithfulness. You have been faithful to us in the good things and the bad things. Father, move in our hearts and make us more thankful and humble and loving and gracious and merciful and faithful as we remember your faithfulness to us in the big things and even in the small things, even down to our daily bread. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.